Amen. Emery, I feel better standing up here already now that I know where my help's coming from. I was worried about being up here alone this morning, but I feel a lot better just knowing my help comes from the Lord. That was a good reminder. Thank you very much, Emery. Brother Pastor John is going to be coming up here right now, and I'll tell you what, it is always a treat to have him here. Our little life groups have been reading through the book of Ecclesiastes. And I'll tell you, it seems like every day I seem to myself, Solomon says, Solomon says, Solomon says. Boy, I'm glad we're getting into 2 Thessalonians so I can start quoting Paul again. Because Solomon sometimes can get to you. But anyway, Solomon says, Solomon says, Solomon says, I pray that after this sermon that when we get home today, we can say, yeah, but Pastor John says.
Oh. Wow. Let's not set the bar that high.
Yes, let's set it high.
That's pretty tough. Wow. It is good to be with you. I have a long history with this church, even before it was you guys. I used to ride past this building every day on my way to junior high and high school. I rode my bike here, all the time. And whoever, I would have never thought at that time that I'd be speaking here. And I'm always excited when I get to come. I was talking to Art in June before the service. I said, the last time I was here wasn't even a year ago. I was here on August 2nd, 2020. So almost a year ago. Almost a year ago. A few things have happened since then, haven't they? You mentioned COVID. Are you guys aware of that? Has that impacted your life at all? Yeah. We've had an election since the last time I was here. Guys, I'm getting a little bit of feedback, if you could just back it a little bit. Thanks. But the election, so many things have happened. By a show of hands, I want to get you involved. By a show of hands, how many of you have as your primary source of news the television? Okay. How about radio? Your primary source of news. Okay. Now you're going to date yourself. Newspaper? My dad used to read the newspaper cover to cover. And I have family here. They can back this up. We did not touch that newspaper till Dad was done with it. He liked that crease, that fold right in the middle. He liked that crisp. And if you looked at it too soon, he'd say, who was reading the paper? All right. How about social media? Okay. How about your friends? How about not at all? Because you don't even want to hear the news, right? Okay, yeah. It is something, isn't it? It is something. I put there on your notes, and if you didn't get any, we have a gentleman up here with some extra copies. We'll get them to you. But in your notes, you notice it says, do we live in an upside-down times? Do we live in upside-down times? We do. Things are going on now that even 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago, we just wouldn't believe it. We wouldn't believe it. And the thing is, this scares me. I have two grandsons. One's 5 and one's 8. I'm scared that they're going to grow up thinking what we're experiencing right now is normal. To us, it's not normal. Most of us are old enough that we look back and we say, this is weird. This is strange. I'm scared that my grandsons are going to think, this is normal. Just some examples. I have them there. And who would have thought? I think of my parents. If I would have told my dad that there was more than two genders, he would have just shook his head at me. Right? Or lying and cheating in politics. Well, maybe that has been going on a long time. But, I mean, Hunter Biden's the most recent one. Let's buy a picture for $500,000 that he... Did you hear how he paints those? He puts the stuff in a straw and then blows through it with... That's strange. Strange. Abortion, the killing of babies. How about... Now, don't be offended here. I'm going to say this because I can't remember. But how about the alphabet people? Do you know who I mean? I wrote it down, LGBTQIA+. And I bet it's not even that anymore. I bet it changed in the past week for some reason. You know, I can't remember, LGBTQIA+, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, questioning, queer, intersex, asexual, pansexual, and allies. And you know what? Those individuals, that group of people, are really influencing our culture. And do you realize that they're not even 1% of our population? They're 0.7%. And yet they're controlling the dialogue in our country. Everything, whether it's TV commercials, whether it's people giving speeches in Congress, whether it's walking at the grocery, everything seems to be impacted by this very, very small yet vocal group. Now, we don't have time this morning to see what Scripture says about each of these things that I have listed for you, but I want to assure you, it does speak directly to them. And I'll tell you this, our culture is on the opposite side of what Scripture says. Our culture is diametrically opposed to what the Word of God actually says. And like I said, we don't really have time to go into each one of those and show you those. I hope you would trust me. But take some time on your own. You can look at all those things. Well, so what? So what? The Scripture says one thing, our culture says another. If you have your Bibles, turn to Isaiah chapter 5. And as you do, let's look to the Lord. Father, may the Holy Spirit just have free reign this morning, that all of us here will hear your words, your thoughts, your perspective, and that we would be moved by it. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. This passage in Isaiah chapter 5, maybe you've heard it, it's been around, but it just struck me so hard recently, and that's why I prepared this message. Isaiah chapter 5, and verse 20, it says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." Does that sound familiar to you? "Who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." The context here is the nation of Israel is going to be judged for their excesses. This passage was not written to us, but it certainly can be applied to us. And look at that word woe. That's what I call an old-timey word. When was the last time that you used that word in a sentence? Probably not for a long time, if ever at all. The definition of woe is great sorrow and distress. Now, usually when I hear messages on this or I read commentaries on this, they focus on the whole thing of evil being called good and good being called evil. But let's focus on that word woe. It is an old-timey word. It means great sorrow and distress, as I said. But it also shows that all this stuff matters because God is paying attention. God is paying attention. It isn't a sliding scale. It isn't God saying, don't worry about it. No big deal. God has stated an opinion on each of these areas, and there's resulting consequences. It's important. And it's just not a suggestion. God is actually saying, woe to you if you do this. If you say that evil is good, or something that is good is evil. If you say that, God is pronouncing judgment on you. He's saying, woe. Woe to us. Great sorrow and great distress on you. Now this forms what I have titled, the message title. This forms a conundrum. There's another old-timey word. When was the last time you said conundrum? Conundrum. Conundrum means a confusing and difficult problem or question. Here's the situation, and knowing what to do is confusing. You're in a conundrum. Okay? What do you do when culture and this book conflict? Well, we can say, oh, you follow the book. Well, that's the right answer. But is that what you do? When you're in the heat of the moment, do you do that? Do you realize you're in a conundrum? You're in a confusing, difficult situation. Well, I don't want to offend anyone. I don't want to cause problems, but you know in your heart, this is what God's word says, and this person's doing this. I want to share a verse with you that my mom used to share with me when I was a teenager quite often. Whenever I'd go out running around with Tim Nipple, and the rest of us, there was a group of seven, as I'd be heading out the door, my parents would yell goodbye, or they'd say, where are you going, or who are you with, all that sort of thing. And my mom would always say, Numbers 32, because she said it enough that she didn't have to quote it. But if you do not do so, then take note, you have sinned against the Lord. And this is the part she was focusing on. And be sure your sins will find you out. Thanks, Mom. Now I can really go have a good time. She goes, have a good time, Numbers 32. I'd say, well, which do you want? Do you want me to have a good time, or do you want me to follow Numbers 32? I can't do both. You know, as a teenager, that's what I was thinking. I never said that to her. I'd say, okay. But here's a conundrum that we're in. When Scripture and the culture disagree, and God says, follow Scripture, and if you don't, Numbers 32, be sure your sins will find you out. Now, we like to talk about God as loving and merciful, and He is, but He's also just and righteous. And when He says woe to you, He doesn't say, oh, down the road, you're going to have woe. He's saying, woe now. You're going to have great sorrow and distress if you do this. And I'm not saying when you're 80 years old. I'm saying now. Numbers 32. If you would go to my laptop computer and you would open it up, right along the bottom where the screen is, I have N3223. I have that written right on my computer. Be sure your sins will find you out. Whatever comes up on that screen, if it conflicts with this. So I just wrote N3223, Numbers 32:23. And God is paying attention. Just the fact that He said, whoa, it means he sees it and he's getting involved. We're not going to take the time to turn, but look at Job 11:11. I think I have it written out there for you. It says, for He knows deceitful men. He sees wickedness also. Will He not consider it? That word consider is an action word. It's not like, oh, he's thinking about it. He's considering. He's thinking about it with the purpose of doing something. The word has action involved with it. If God is considering it, he's weighing what He's going to do. And if you put that together with Isaiah 5, that's significant. Job 34:21, for His eyes are on the way of men, and He sees all His ways. That's convicting. He doesn't see the things that we do here, or He just doesn't see the things we do when we're at work or with our family or our friends. He sees it all, and He considers it. Psalm 33:13, just to reinforce the thought, the Lord looks from heaven, He sees all the sons of men. So you need to make a decision, preferably before you're faced with the conundrum. You will be faced with the conundrum. You probably already have just this week, maybe even this morning. But hopefully you'll make up your mind, you'll make a decision before you're faced with a conundrum, because either decision you make will have consequences. Some will be good, some will be bad, some will be positive, some will be negative. If you find that you're in a situation where your culture, your family, your work situation, wherever you are, at the grocery store, at Sheetz, you know, getting a soda, whatever, you're going to find yourself in a conundrum. You will be facing a culture that is opposed to what this book says. And you will make a choice, and based on that choice, there will be consequences. For example, if you conform to society, you may reduce stress and conflict. I mean, there are some people that enjoy conflict. They enjoy stress. I've known people. I mean, you know, they'll argue at the drop of a hat. They just, you know, and they don't even care. If you say blue, they'll say green just to argue with you. And if you change and say green, they'll say blue because they like the arguing part of it all. But most of us don't go looking for conflict. And if you find yourself in a situation and you conform to culture, conform to society, you could reduce stress and conflict. If you conform in that situation, it may also bring you temporarily some benefits. Jobs, money, advancement. I mean, businesses right now, what do they call it, the woke movement. There are businesses that are just making all sorts of decisions. And if you don't go with it, and your bosses don't like that, it could affect your advancement, even maybe keeping your job. And it could affect, if you conform, it will give you acceptance within your group. We like acceptance. We want to be accepted. And if you're at work and you conform, you will be accepted more readily. But immediate conformity will also bring you Isaiah 5. It'll bring you woe. Not, like I said, not in the future, but now. But now. Now, if you face that situation and you choose to follow Scripture, there are consequences for that too. Just like there were consequences for conforming, there are consequences for conforming to Scripture. If you take a stand, whereas when you go with culture, it could eliminate stress and conflict, if you take a stand with Scripture, it will probably bring you stress and conflict. So if you're making that decision, don't be surprised when it happens. If you take a stand, it may also bring negative results. You could lose your job. You could not make the money that you want to make. Advancement could be delayed or postponed or not happening at all. And it could affect your acceptance, where you won't be accepted if you take that stand. But the long-term blessing is stated all throughout Scripture. It's a long game for us. Did you ever hear that term? It's a long game. You don't play for the immediate results. You play for the end results. Did you ever hear that they lived happily ever after in the fairy tales? Well, did you know with Christians it's true? But the happily ever after may not start for a while. It may not start till you get to heaven. But the truth is, the best is yet to come. And we will live happily ever after. Probably starting further in the future. Right? 1 Peter 2:20. I wrote it there. You don't have to turn if you want. Let me just read it to you. What credit is it if when you're beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? If you do something wrong and you get in trouble for it, and you take it, well, that's, you should. That's no big deal. No surprise, no credit to you. But when you do good, in other words, you choose this over culture, when you do good and suffer and you take it patiently, it says this is commendable before God. Just imagine that. You can do something that God commends. We do so many things in our world because we want to be commended for it, and we love it. Good parenting involves commending a child as well as disciplining a child. A good manager knows how to commend his people, and we enjoy that. You can actually get commended by God. That's amazing. That's amazing to me when I really think about it. We're not going to take the time to develop that. But let's bring this to the crux of the matter. Whenever I preach a message, I like to say, so what? I learned that from my two boys, because when they were younger, they would say, so what? In other words, why should we do this? What's in it for me? What's the point? I got five quick things here for you. If you find yourself in a conundrum, you're going to have that word in your mind for a little while, I hope. I hope when you're at Sheets and something's going on, or you're at Wise or Giant, or you're at work and you see something, you say, this is a conundrum. If you verbalize that at work, they're going to say, whoa, you know, word of the day, conundrum. When you find yourself in a conundrum, number one, you need to make a choice and realize that no choice is a choice. If you don't do anything, that's a choice. Do you want to be commendable before God or before men? Because a lot of times they're not the same thing. Many times they're mutually exclusive. Do you even see this as a reality? Is it even part of your thought process? Is it even part of your reality that you can be commendable to God? I mean, do you have that vision of God where he is that interwoven into your life that he'd say, that's not good? Yeah, a lot of times we can see that. But you can also, can you see him saying, that's really good? Good job, John. Good job. What would that mean? I mean, someday it'll be wonderful if I stand before the Lord and he says, well done, thy good and faithful servant. But that's in the future, I hope. But right now, can you, is that even part of your thought process? That God is sitting in, you know, God talks to people about us. You know the story of Job, right? The very first chapter of Job, God and Satan were talking about Job. And God commended Job to Satan. Now, I'm not saying they're, God and Satan are having a conversation about you, maybe. But there's all kinds of angels. There's all kinds of servants around God. There's Christians that have gone before us. Does God say, look at John. Good job, John. Man, he really messed up last week, but he's doing good today. You know, is it? I don't know if that's even part of your thought process, but it should be. Number two, like I said, number one, make a choice. Number two, whenever you choose, know there's going to be consequences. Realize there will be consequences, and some will be good and some will be bad. Now, this is not a message, this next line I'm about to tell you is not a message that we say an awful lot in church, but it's true. And you guys have been studying 1 Peter with Pastor Dave, right? So if you haven't come to it, you will, because it's right in 1 Peter chapter 4. When you choose, there will be consequences, and if you choose to follow Scripture over the culture, you will suffer. Now, isn't that a pleasant thought? Let's just end on that and go out and say, you know, go out and be a witness for God and suffer now. But you will, because it's the will of God. We'll look at this in the next one. But it is the will of God for you to suffer. Now, that is not what you hear on TV. There are people preaching out there that God does not want you to suffer. God does not want you to suffer financially. He does not want you to suffer emotionally. He does not want you to suffer physically. He does not want you to suffer. And if you are suffering, you do not have enough faith. So send me $200 and I'll send you a prayer book and you can have more faith. Prosperity gospel, that's called. If you see that, run from it. Because it actually says in 1 Peter that suffering is the will of God for those that he loves. And there's other places, just not that one passage. It talks about where if you're a child of God, if your earthly father disciplines you, shouldn't your heavenly father? And then there's a passage in Hebrews that says, discipline is supposed to hurt. I tell this story about my youngest. He's 30, what is he, 31, Jenny? He's 31 now. And I remember he did something. I don't even remember what it was. And I smacked his little bottom. He was so little, he was wearing a diaper. And he looked right at me and said, didn't hurt. And his brother, who's 3 years older, said, uh-oh. Because he knew what dad was going to. And you know what? So I spanked him again, but I lowered my aim 6 inches. So I didn't hit the diaper. I hit the back of his leg. That got the reaction. Discipline is supposed to hurt, and a loving father will discipline. And God is the ultimate loving father. He will discipline, and guess what? It will hurt. Now, we do not like to dwell on that, and that's not part of my normal witnessing technique. God has a wonderful plan for your life, and it involves a lot of suffering. No, I never put that second part in when I talk to him about it. You know, but it's true. Scripture teaches it. So number one, make a choice, and no choice is a choice. Number two, when you make a choice, realize whichever choice you make, there will be consequences, some good, some bad. But if you choose to follow God's word, you will suffer. Number three, when you suffer, I love what it says in 1 Peter 4. Commit yourself to God and continue to do good. 1 Peter 4:19 says, therefore, let those who suffer, and here's the phrase, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to Him in doing good as to the faithful Creator. Other translations, that's the New King James, the NIV, the ESV, the NLT, they all say, commit yourself to God and continue to do good. You can't continue to do good if you're not doing good now. You can start doing good, but you can't continue to do good. So there's sort of a backdoor command there. You need to be doing good. Do good right now. And when you make the choice and you suffer for it, you're supposed to take revenge? No, you're supposed to continue doing good. Easier said than done. Number four, remember this. Good and evil, immorality and morality do not fluctuate. If something was wrong 200 years ago, according to God's word, it's wrong today. If it was right 1,000 years ago, it's right now. Because you know what? God is the standard and He doesn't change. The big term for that is He's immutable. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Evil is evil, good is good. That doesn't change. We can't say we're a more enlightened community. This word, this book is a living document and it changes with the culture. No. No. That's not true. It doesn't change. Now, having said all that, I can't let you go out. I can't let you leave without looking at Romans chapter 12. So please turn there. I've taken the pendulum and I've brought it all the way over here. Do not call evil good. Do not call good evil. If you do, there will be woe. If you choose to follow God's word, you will suffer. And if you're thinking, how does that work out in my life? Do I stand there and talk to the sheets person because of because of something going on in sheets? Do I say something to somebody wearing a t-shirt at Walmart that I, you know, is wrong? What do we do? Well, I need to balance it. I need to bring the pendulum back. Now, I'm not going to bring the pendulum all the way over here. Hopefully, I'll do good and I'll bring the pendulum and put it right here in the middle, because that's what the Christian life is. What I have just told you, Isaiah chapter 5, is not a license for bad behavior. God says, don't do this. And if you do, there will be woe. That doesn't give you license to go out and have bad behavior. Look at Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 14. Romans 12, verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Man, we could spend a week on that. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Here we go. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Verse 18. This is tough, but this is what's important. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. How do you take Isaiah 5, where you better not call evil good and good evil, because if you do, you will have great distress and trouble. And how do you blend that with Romans 12, verse 18, that says, if possible, as much as it depends on you, not the other person, on you, live at peace with all men. How does that blend together? Don't know. In your situation. There's a passage in Scripture that talks about working out your salvation. That doesn't mean you can earn your salvation. It means taking what God has said and figuring it out and working on it and doing it. This is one of those passages. And I can't give you an answer to this because one answer does not fit all, does not fit every situation. Some people take Romans 12 and, if possible, live at peace with all people. That means they tolerate and they conform and they do not step up into the fray at all because it says live at peace. Other people take Isaiah 5 and it says don't call evil good or good evil. Take a stand and, boy, they're ready to go. But God's word says both. And one does not negate the other. So how does that work when you're at Walmart, when you're at work, when you're out and about, when people are talking politics with you? How does that work? I don't know. For you. And I don't even know for me. It almost has to be in the moment. What do I do, God? Is this one where I take a stand? Or is this one where I live at peace? Do I let love cover a multitude of sins? Or do I take a stand because you're saying something is evil and it's good? It's a good thing. Or maybe worse, there's a good thing and you're saying it's evil. That's hard. That's going to take some thought on your part. I just can't stand up here, take 10 minutes and tell you how it works. It's not that easy. But this is meat. This is what Christianity, becoming more Christ-like, is all about. Jesus was tender. He was right there involved with sinners. He was condemned for having meals with known sinners. He was with prostitutes and treated them kindly. And yet he was the Son of God and he did not compromise who he was or what his Father said at all. And he was bold. You know, we think of Jesus as meek and mild. Picture him in the temple overturning the money changers' tables. He took a whip and was hitting people. He did both. Now, we don't have time again to get into all this. Jesus was meek, but meek doesn't mean doormat. Meek means strength under control. Think about all those people doing all those things to him, spitting on him, hitting him, flogging him, and eventually crucifying him with just a thought. He could have put them in the worst pain, more pain than you could imagine. He had that ability. He never gave that up when he became a man, and yet he didn't. Meekness is strength under control. This is something you're going to have to chew on. This is something that you're going to have to figure out. This is something where you need to let the mind of Christ dwell in you richly. You need to be filled with the Spirit, which is not some mystical thing. This is something where you immerse yourself in God's Word, and in the moment, the Holy Spirit will lead you. That's as far as I can take you. The rest is you and your particular walk with Christ. In our culture, tolerance is the byword. You know, everything, we must be tolerant. We must be inclusive. The bumper stickers that say coexist. Right? You could look at it one way. You could say we're coexisting as people right down the path to hell. You know, if somebody ever never confronted you with the gospel of Jesus Christ, would you be here today? Would you be in this room? But at the same time, I have a different Bible that I carry to work, but it's almost the size. My boys call it the mule choker. You know what I mean? It's big enough that it could, excuse me, choke a mule. But I don't carry this with me into Giant looking for a fight. You know, I work at a crisis pregnancy center. We don't meet the girls at the door. God says a lot about you. Come on in. We'll tell you what it is. That's not how we deal with it. We don't condone their behavior, but we let the Holy Spirit condemn their behavior. It's a hard path because, you know, we had a client one time and their dad was there and she did not want an abortion. Her mother did not want her to have an abortion, but the dad said, yes, abortion is the way to go. And he looked right at his wife in front of his daughter, in front of me, and said, if she kills herself, it's on you. Everything inside of me wanted to grab that man and shake him and say, step up. This is your daughter you're talking about. Be a man. Didn't do it. Wanted to do it. Wanted to slap him around a little bit too for saying that. But it wasn't appropriate. And you know what's really cool is the Lord worked in that girl's life, and she did carry the baby to term. She did go through an adoption scenario, but that baby's life was spared. But I thought to myself, it is so evil, and he's saying it's the answer to our problems. It's so good. Kill that baby. Oh. Oh. Now, maybe you won't be in a life and death situation like that, but you will be in a situation like that this week. So you need to put it in your mind that you're going to make a choice and that there will be consequences to your choice. And you need to trust God to help you to do it the right way. So if possible, as much as it depends on you, you're living at peace with people. But notice it says, if possible, as much as it depends on you. You could do it right and you're not going to live at peace because the other side won't let you. Just be aware of that. Don't be surprised by it, but you can't avoid doing what is right because of what might happen. So I'm kind of leaving this sermon open-ended because I'm not going to tell you how to actually apply what we talked about. You got to figure that one out because one size does not fit all. Let's pray. Father, we're in a conundrum. Father, your word says to do this and it says to do the opposite. It's not a contradiction. It's just hard. Father, we can't call evil good. Help us to see what truly is evil. Father, help us not to go down a road where we're calling things evil that are just not in agreement with us. But help us to see it from your perspective and help us to call evil, evil. And Father, to call good, good. And Father, help us to take a stand. Help us to be bold enough to make that decision. But Father, help us to be gracious enough to do it the way Romans says to do it. To be able to live at peace, if it's possible, as far as it's up to us, with all men. Thank you for putting this in your word, Father. It shows us once again that it is your word because man wouldn't have written this type of seemingly contradiction. This is obviously your word. So we ask for your help. We pray it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.